Raising women's voices, one story at a time. Welcome to the She Said Project Podcast. Welcome to another fun episode of the She Said Project podcast. I am your host, Jeanette Jerzyk, National Director of the She Said Project movement. But I wouldn't be where I am today without this amazing woman because she helped create the She Said Project. Carrie Rosso.
You're talking to me?
I
couldn't tell if you're talking
to
me or the guest that's in the house today.
You know, we talk a lot about women supporting women and empowerment. And so many of us wouldn't be where we are today without the women that came before us, without the woman who pushed us along and helped us through. And every time I think about who in my life had such a significant impact, who is a woman that I could credit with, I wouldn't be where I am today without. And I'm looking at her like Carrie Rosso. I wouldn't be where I am today if it weren't for you and your vision for making this world a better place for your daughters, for my daughters, and for everyone's daughters.
Well, thank you so much. It's one of the greatest things that I've always had is great women in my life. And a lot of that was from being on team sports. My whole life, you just sort of have this built-in posse of women who have your back and you go through so much every season, whatever it is. And I always think, you know, a lot of people on the She Said team were not team athletes. And so they get a little alarmed when, you know, to celebrate, I'm always given butt slaps or, you know, chest bumps. And
is that what that is?
Sorry.
I thought you were just being inappropriate.
Yeah, well, that too. But sorry, but it is a lot like being on a sports team.
It is because we build a sisterhood and a camaraderie inside the She Said family. We've got a lot of wonderful She Said sisters who have been on the stage, who have shared their stories. And here at the podcast, we get a chance to revisit with some of them, share these stories that have been told with a whole new audience and inspire the world a little bit more.
Well,
and so
today's,
are you excited?
Guest, well, I have to tell you, so speakers come to us. People stop you on the street and say, hey, do you know so-and-so? Or I get an email, do you know so-and-so?
Mm-hmm.
Or my mom says, do you know so-and-so? But today's guest came, my husband came home and said, do you know Tara Herless? And I was like, the soccer player? And I know that she has all these other things that she could hang her hat on, but in our house, because we're soccer players, it was Tara Herless, the soccer player. And he raved about her, and you have to meet her. Even if she's not in the show, you are just going to love her. And then, sure enough, I stalked her, Google stalked her.
We call it vetting.
Research. Sorry. I researched
vetting.
Her and then met her, and as they say, the rest is history.
So why don't we stop talking about her and let's talk to her. Tara Herless, welcome to the She Said Project podcast.
Thanks. It's good to be back with you girls.
It's amazing that Carrie talked about her passion for sports teams and women supporting women through that experience. You are a professional soccer player. You have been, and you've shared some of that journey in your story. But what was it like to stand on a stage in front of a very large audience and talk about a piece of your life, a very private, intimate piece of your life?
You know, when you guys first interviewed me, you said I couldn't talk about soccer or being a police officer. So I don't really know what else to talk about, but my wife and I had been through a lot with, you know, fertility issues. So I thought, well, hey, what if I talk about miscarriage? And I did not know I would be sharing my story with 1,100 of my closest friends here in the Champaign-Urbana area.
And beyond, because this podcast, we're hoping, is going to share the She Said stories with even a greater audience. I have to say, since you did share your story, we have gotten so much feedback again and again about women who were so grateful. And I know you have as well, grateful that you did share your story of infertility and miscarriage and trying to start your family, because it is a topic that we don't talk about. We don't talk about enough. And it's such a huge part of this life and being women in our community. So first and foremost, thank you.
You know, I'm in and around Champaign all the time. I work on the University of Illinois campus as a police officer. And actually yesterday I just went on a call and I was just doing a minor lockout. But she's like, hey, I came and saw your show at the theater and thank you so much for sharing your story. So it makes me stronger because I went through the same thing. And then I was able to have a baby, but everyone always says, oh, don't worry, you're going to have a baby, everything's going to be okay. But what if it doesn't happen? I go to the grocery store, I went to the mall, I went working at the courthouse. Actually, yeah, I was just on jury duty, and the lady who selects people said, hey, I watched your show. Thank you for sharing
yes,
your story.
Because there are no guarantees. So before we give away the ending of your story, let's go ahead and listen to the clip of the live show. Tara Herlis joined us on stage in the 2019 cast of That's What She Said in Champaign, Illinois. So we're going to hear what she had to say as Tara Herlis shares her story, Soccer Mom.
I've spent over half my life in competitive soccer, and I've competed at some of the top levels it has to offer. To get there, my world consisted of working hard both as a player and a teammate. I knew the harder I worked, the greater the victory. I always said I wanted to play soccer in college, so I worked hard and received a full ride. Actually, this year I was inducted into the U of I Hall of Fame. Soccer had been my life for so long that once graduation approached, I didn't know what I was going to do. But through all my hard work, I was recruited to play for a top women's professional club in Sweden. The point I'm getting towards is I've always had total control of where my life was going and what I was able to achieve through pure drive, determination, a strong work ethic, and focus. However, there was nothing my 23-year soccer career could do to prepare me for the challenges of starting a family. Don't get me wrong, I had boyfriends throughout the years. I knew what it would actually take. But I did tell my mom in 2001 that I gave guys up for Lent and I never went back. My wife Jess and I got married in October of 2016. There she is. And shortly after that, we began talking about adding to our family, except this time it would be with human babies, not another dog or cat. There was just one really important thing missing from our equation. Sperm. And actually, Carrie Rosso, front row here, tried to make me take the word sperm out. But it is what it is, and that's what it's called. And I find it extremely funny that the straight girl has a bigger problem with the word sperm than the lesbian. Obviously, neither one of us had the equipment to provide sperm. So we made an appointment with Dr. Fay and her nurses here in Champaign to learn about all our options. We talked about having a known donor versus an anonymous donor, and we learned the pros and cons of each. But each of these came with an extremely different price tag. And we were rookies in the department, and we had no idea what we were doing. But we really didn't think it would be easier and expensive. But we were a bit shocked to learn that we probably would need to budget for about $30,000 before insurance would kick in. So super long story short, actually the very next day after the appointment, a friend of mine offered to donate his swimmers to Jess and I. And I'm a big believer of signs, and it was really hard for me to not see this as a sign. Jess needed a little bit more convincing than I did, but once legal documentation was drawn up, it seemed like we'd secured that missing piece. Like I said before, we were total rookies in this department in a lot of ways. So since we chose the less expensive route and we were doing this on our own, we had to try to figure out how to get pregnant. So I downloaded an app to track my period. And let's be honest, for the last 17 years, I haven't had to track anything. Anyways, this app told us everything we needed to know about ovulation, which I didn't even know when that occurred in my cycle. It told us when the best times were and the best days. We needed about a month or two to figure out my cycle and how to time it with our donors. You know, donation. So we made a plan for that February, and that's exactly where our fertility journey started. To say the donation part was awkward would be an understatement of the century. But bless his heart, the donor would come over to our house, do his business in a collection cup that we provided. It was not our everyday drinking cups. Then Jess would wait for the door to shut and it was go time. So it's been an extremely long time since we've been with guys. And you can just imagine, love of my life, fourth row right there, holding a cup of Swimmers, trying not to spill, a fancy turkey baster in the other hand, and gagging uncontrollably all while we're trying to make a baby. So come the second week in March, we take a pregnancy test together, and it shows a plus sign. We both were super shocked because who would have thought it could be that easy? Jess really didn't believe the positive sign, so we had to drive to a different town to purchase those ones that say pregnant in big bold letters. So fast forward to our first ultrasound. Neither one of us knew what to expect because neither one of us have ever done this before. But we were super pumped to hear the baby's heartbeat for the first time. All I could remember was how rude the ultrasound technician was. He took pictures, but he didn't say a word. And at one point, I went and turned back and looked at Jess, who I kind of think knew what was going on the entire time, but I just couldn't wrap my head around what was happening. He sent us up to meet with our nurse practitioner. And Jess said in the elevator, "Well, how do you think that went?" And all I could say was, "Not well." And as soon as our nurse came to the door to call us back, I saw it in her face, that this would not be the news we were looking for. There was no heartbeat. I couldn't even tell you what happened at this appointment to this day because it's still a blur. All I gathered was that the DNC would be scheduled for April 13th. And this goes back to what I was talking about at the beginning. Throughout my soccer career, working hard and doing what I had to do resulted in great success. But fertility would be something I would soon realize that was totally and completely out of my control. And for anyone who knows me here in the crowd, I don't do well in those types of scenarios. So while we're waiting the recommended time before we try again, I had an unfortunate accident where a guy accidentally cut off two of my fingertips in a wood splitter, which is completely unrelated. But it was pretty significant because I was starting to feel more out of control of what was going on in my life versus what our goals actually were. So Jess and I would try again in June and July, and come the second weekend in August, we had a second positive pregnancy test. So many thoughts and emotions, feelings were flying through our heads. Again, we were so excited, but something inside me felt scared. There was no explanation as to why I had the first one, so I was worried it was going to happen again. And I was right. My second DNC would be scheduled for August 31st. And all I could think was, what's wrong with me? Why is this happening to us? We're good people and we can provide a great life for a baby. And over the next several months, it became very hard for me and us. I don't think I ever allowed myself to process the two miscarriages and losing my fingertips all in 4 months. But I quickly learned how common they were. Many of my coworkers' wives had been through it, and actually many people we knew had been through it. But it made me wonder, why does no one ever talk about this? And why does no one warn you that it could happen? I was very angry, upset, and frustrated with our journey. And this would only continue. But I will tell you, it made me realize a lot about myself, and it made Jess and I a stronger team. We had to learn how to communicate about what happened, just so I could sort through and process it all. And I'm sure Jess got sick of talking about the same thing over and over, but she always listened. And I also was open to talking about it with others. It didn't make it easier for me to think about having these miscarriages, but it made me feel like I could help others get through it because it could be something that they never talked about aloud before. Perhaps we women are thinking we're failures in some ways, but as cliche as this sounds, everything happens for a reason. And you may never know this reason, but there's a plan for everyone and everything. And through all this, I have just had to learn patience, which is not in my top 5 qualities. So throughout the next year, we switched donors. We tried at home one more time, which didn't work. So then we decided to take a more clinical approach, which resulted in 3 failed IUIs. I couldn't believe Jess could get me pregnant twice at home with a fancy turkey baster we bought online. But for some reason, these IUIs weren't working. But I soon would find out the possible reasons during my first round of IVF. In that initial ultrasound, it was noted that I had a cyst left over from one of the follicles from my last IUI. But this wasn't alarming because it's something that should dissipate on its own. So I had taken shots for about a week and a half, and I found it very uncomfortable to sit normal. In fact, I had to sort of lean to the left to even sit down. And I can't remember the scientific name of the cyst, but it was basically consuming all the medicine from the shots, making it bigger than my uterus. Again, something I have absolutely no control over, but this time it was even harder for me to process and accept. I'm a police officer with the University of Illinois Police Department, and I had to submit a doctor's note to my upper command to switch my schedule from third shift hours, which is 10 p.m. to 8 a.m., to normal day shift hours. And this is not an easy thing to do in shift work where your schedule is determined by your seniority. In fact, it was super so not easy. My department denied 3 doctor's notes before sending me to the disability office, who approved the 4th. Not only were my doctors baffled by this, but I was just as surprised. But in the meantime, I'm supposed to stay stress-free this entire time. So, when the doctor went in to remove the cyst, he found I had some endometriosis, I had some scar tissue, and my left ovary and fallopian tube were adhered to my uterine wall. But he did tell Jess he gave me a 20,000-mile tune-up, and that way we would get pregnant the next go-round. We're still on this journey, and I realize this may be short compared to what others have experienced or are currently going through. But I guess the reason I chose to talk about this is because no one really does. And I want women to know it's okay to talk about it, even though it's super uncomfortable to do so. We're having a girl, and she's due June 6th. And we listen to her heartbeat every night before bed, which is truly the best sound I've ever heard. Hands down, this has been the hardest journey I've ever experienced, mainly because I've had no control of the process and I don't know the outcome. I will say I can't imagine experiencing this with anyone else. Jess is the best teammate anyone could ask for. She makes me a better person. She makes me stronger and a better communicator. I know I have not been easy to deal with through this whole process. And even though I'm pregnant now, I still continue to be extremely difficult. But I do usually try to blame it on the hormones, hoping for a free pass, but I don't think she's buying that anymore. I get nervous for every appointment, every blood test result, and every ultrasound, because it's such an emotional, physical, and mental roller coaster. We've experienced a lot together, from the initial donation to hundreds of shots, and hearing our baby's heartbeat for the first time together. But with all these struggles, I'm still so thankful to have gone through what we have together. We're looking forward to meeting baby Hazel. Aww.
I laugh myself silly every single time that, well, one, I got called out about the S word, but you have the ability to talk about something really hard and make it so relatable and funny. And like you said, like so many people, once one person says this happened to me, so many other people were either nodding if they couldn't come and say it, but so many people have said, me too, that happened to me.
You know, I didn't even know anything about the She Said Project. So you were stalking me. I also was stalking the two of you. So, and then
fair enough.
as we, you know, we would get together and meet and we were talking about stories, I never told my wife what I was talking about. She never heard it. She didn't edit anything. I think I had said something and referred to it a little bit. And she said, because I'll tell you right now, I don't have a filter, which you can obviously hear in the show. Maybe I should hear your story because I think I have some filtering to do for your final piece. And I said, it's too late. The show's in 3 days and I already have it finalized. So not going to happen.
So that is a brave and bold move, not just because you were sharing a personal story that you both had, but that you did. You chose to keep it your own process, your own journey. You weren't hyper concerned or aware of what she was going to say because this moment was for you. This was an opportunity for you to dig deep and to share your side of the story. And everyone has a story and everyone has their side of the story, but we chose to celebrate you that night. And Carrie is the first to point out that we never look for the obvious story. You are well known in our community. You were a professional soccer player. You were inducted into the Illini Athletics Hall of Fame. I mean, you're kind of a big deal. And you are a police officer at the U of I campus, which is amazing because that is, you know, a male-dominated industry. But you made a conscious choice to share a very personal moment with a lot of your really good friends now. And I love hearing that people have come up to you to say thank you and to, you know, to share that it had an impact on them.
And even being in a male-dominated field, you know, touchy-feely thing isn't really their type of thing. And some of my closest friends are guys that I do work with, and they had no idea. I mean, several of them are like, I didn't even know you were going through this. Or, you know, because everyone, you come to work, you got to leave your personal stuff at the door, mm-hmm. because then you can't focus on a very high action packed kind of profession. And they knew we were trying, or they knew I was off for a couple days twice because of the miscarriages. But never did they know. So it's not like, hey, we're trying to have a baby. Can we have some of your sperm? And then boom, I'm pregnant.
I mean, by the way.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey.
They weren't part of the process.
No. And I didn't feel comfortable sharing, but they didn't ask, you know? So, mm-hmm. when you were saying, what do you want to talk about? Nobody talks about any of that. And actually, there could be a second story. No one talks about the delivery process because that is even bigger story than what I shared on stage. And these are things I think that if women felt more comfortable and strong talking about that, it would make maybe the process a little bit easier.
And that's exactly what we strive for here at the She Said Project, is to remove some of those veils and those layers and those doors and, you know, try to create a safe space and an open playing field. Ha ha, ha ha. Open
it?
Playing field for women to have a voice and to be heard and to know that they're not alone. That is absolutely what comes out of each and every story. And when we hear the impact of, you know, women in our community, and now we are so looking forward to hearing what women who are listening today on the podcast are going to share, because I know there are so many me too hands raising at this moment because of what you shared on stage. I do want to share with the audience that there was a really awesome reveal that you can't hear. So I want to encourage you, if you go to the She Said Project YouTube channel, you can actually watch Tara's story and see every amazing moment of her sharing her story. And yours did have a happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your story did have a happy ending. And so you sit here today and you are a mom.
Yes,
and you
I
and
am.
Your wife have baby Hazel.
We do. And she's awesome.
Yeah. So how's that been for you?
It's good. She's actually a really good baby and super chill, which is the complete opposite of me. Must be the donor. You know, we always joke like, Jess is super calm. She doesn't really get riled up. And I'm the opposite. And it's like, she's the donor of Hazel. She wakes up, she's laughing, smiling, and it's just really cool to see, you know, when you first have her, basically they're just eating, sleeping, and
pooping,
really, they are. But now she's getting a personality, and we share smiles all the time. I said in my story, we listen to her heartbeat every night, but now it's like every night we have a new nighttime routine. Jess will feed her, and then we talk at her changing table, and it's just super cool to see how our routines and things have changed because now that she's here.
Yeah, and it's just going to evolve and grow from this point forward. So let us be one of the first to say congratulations.
Thank you.
For being able to have this dream of yours come to reality and for you to have this experience. On behalf of moms everywhere, I'm so happy for you.
Thanks.
Truly, truly happy for
you. It's
been
so fun to watch, to be on the sidelines. And but to watch this,
I
think we all were just so excited after that to watch. And because when we started writing and editing, you were in the beginning stages. And so I think it each week we were all sort of praying and holding our breath and hoping,
same with me.
You know,
that's an excellent point. When Tara was asked to be in the show,
I was only 2 weeks pregnant. 3 weeks pregnant when we met at your house.
We didn't even know you were pregnant. It was you were in the process. You were in the thick of it. There was no way to know that the ending of the story, or that it would be a happy ending.
No.
You know, and that's amazing that it all came together. It all came together.
Because Mary had said, you know, she was visibly pregnant. And then I was like, well, do I tell him? Do I not tell him? I've never made it past 7 weeks. And this is, I'm like 3 weeks pregnant. But hey, I feel like sharing, so I'm going to share.
Well, and I just thought, I think the camaraderie of having both you and Mary to go through that together. But early on, I just remember thinking how painful it would be if you'd had a different ending, and then having to come and sit through those rehearsals as Mary, as her pregnancy progressed. And it was just...
Mary being one of the other cast members
who wasn't
pregnant when she was asked to be in the show, and then the pregnancy story developed.
So basically, we get people knocked up.
It's in the water.
But what I want to point out about that is that this journey of life, this crazy world that we've created where we invite women in to be vulnerable and share their stories, you know, it evolves and changes, and we get to come in and peek into their world and share these live experiences because we don't always know the ending. And I love that that is part of the magic that has been created with That's What She Said.
And in something like this, whether you're a part of the show or you're attending the show, even for myself, like I realized that I did not deal with any of it, you know, because I never talked about it out loud. It's just something that I don't think you can move on mentally until you are able to deal with the things that happened in the past and talking about it. Like, the first time I read the story, I'm not a crier, and I was ball bagging it. You know? So I obviously had things I needed to deal with, and I wasn't. So through the course of, I don't even know how many practices or how long all that was, it helped me. Obviously, we did have a happy ending, so that helped, but to just be able to talk about it and know I'm helping other people helped me.
Right. It sort of opened the door for other people to have that conversation.
Right. And make it okay.
People would walk up to me. They still do. They're like, man, during the show, I didn't even know, because my shirt that wasn't even mine was pretty baggy. I didn't even know if you were pregnant, so I didn't even know, is this a happy ending? Is it not a happy ending?
So, Tara, it really was the best surprise ever that you were able to reveal the truth, and the fact that you were pregnant and expecting, and baby Hazel was on her way, and now she's here. Mm-hmm. So we at the She Said Project congratulate you and celebrate with you. Celebrate this moment of women's success and women's happiness, because they're not always what you expect, and I think we should celebrate them and embrace them when they're here. We are here for you, by you, with you, sister, and we want to thank all of our audience who came out to listen to this amazing story that Tara shared, and we hope that there's someone out there who needed to hear, and that you're not alone, and that we're all on this journey of life, and when you choose to share your story, it gets just a little bit easier. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jeanette Jerzek, and this is the She Said Project podcast. Thank you for listening to the She Said Project podcast in partnership with Illinois Public Media. All materials contained in the podcast are the exclusive property of The She Said Project and That's What She Said, LLC. For more information on our live shows, go to shesaidproject.com. This podcast was presented by Sterling Wealth Management, empowering women to live their best lives. Learn more at sterlingwealthmanagement.com.